But listen, beloved, we are on a brink of a major decision. As you well know, the conservative judge, Scalia, passed away just a week or so ago. And we are at a very strategic time in our nation. And all depending on who is nominated, not only with this person that is the next one, but there looks like there'll be some other nominees as well. Well, there's some moral ills in our nation that are going to be decided by the Supreme Court justices. We need revival in America, and furthermore, we need revival in our communities, in our churches, and throughout this land. I believe that with all of my heart. In fact, I was, I've got a confession to make this morning. I was coming to church, and I thought I had plenty of room, but anyway, I pulled out in front of this car. And I say in front of this car, there's some good ways down the road, but the person in the car evidently was too close for them, and they held out their you're number one, but they didn't say number one, all right? I said, well, bless you too, all right? Isn't that something? But it reminded me of this man that was going through a red light, and it was green, and all of a sudden it turned yellow, and a lady was riding right on his bumper. And as the red light, the green light turned yellow, he stopped right in front of the red light. Well, the lady evidently was in a hurry, and she was right on his bumper. And when he stopped, she just bump, 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 and she rolled down the window and was, you know, giving him the finger, and you're number one, but not number one, really. And just ranting and raving, cussing and having a storm there. And anyway, about that time, a police officer saw what was going on, and he went over to the car, and he said, ma'am, he said, I want you to come with me. He put her in the police car, took her down to the police station. He began to interrogate her and question her. And then finally, after about 30 minutes, he came in there and said, ma'am, I'm sorry, there's been a big mistake. He said, the way you were acting, he said, I saw on the back of your bumper, it just said to follow me to Sunday school. It said, what would Jesus do? And he said, the way you were acting and ranting, raving, and cussing, I just thought it was a stolen car. I just thought it was a stolen car. Hey, look, folks are watching you, and they're watching me. Speaking of cars, last week I got a call. I was down here at the church, and Deanna called and said, the car won't crank. How many know that's not good? She's up in Covington in a parking lot and said, the car won't crank. And I said, well, I put some jumper cables in the trunk. Why don't you pull out the jumper cables and then just get somebody to jump you off? Well, about 5 minutes later, and I said, if that doesn't work, I'll come up there, no problem. And in Covington, and she called about 5-10 minutes later and said, well, I've tried to jump it off, and a person here, but it won't jump off. It just clicks, you know what I mean. I said, all right, well, I'll be there about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So I hit it up. I was going up to the hospital in Atlanta, the VA anyway, so I said, I'll just go by there and check it out. Well, I got there and lifted the hood up, took my jumper cables out of the back of my car, and the trunk, you know, red on red and black on black. How many know what I'm talking about? You better put red on red and black on black. Anyway, I put those jumper cables on that battery and rev that baby up for a little while, and then next thing I said, all right, now try it. Crank right up, just like that. And I thought, wow. I said, well, take it around the block and then come back. Let's see. Maybe it just needed to get charged up. It could just have been needing a charge. Well, she got in the car, rode around the block, came back. I said, now turn it off. She turned it off. I said, turn it back on. She turned it back on, and boom, just cranked just like that. Bottom line, it needed a charge. The battery needed a charge. I believe the people of God need a charge, amen? That's what revival is all about. In fact, let me take it a step further. Some of you are kind of ready to quit, aren't you? You've been discouraged, let's be honest. You've been discouraged, haven't you? I know you've been discouraged. You've been down. And that's what revival is all about. Hey, look, you can't quit now. You can't stop now. We're still in the battle. And thanks be to God, we're not home yet. We can't quit till we get home, because one day we're going to rest from our labors, but until then, soldier, get back in the fight. Amen and amen and amen. And I want to preach today on this subject. Lord, do it again. Do it again, Lord. Revival, revival. Let me tell you what happened to me a little over a week ago. I was up in Covington at a restaurant. I meet some of our men. We have a Bible time together, Q&A, and then we just have a time of fellowship. And anyway, I was with one man who's not a member of the church and who doesn't come, but I believe he's close. And at any rate, We were sitting at a table talking a little over a week ago, and the waitress came up to the table. And, you know, I asked her, she's a lady about in her 20s, 26 years old. I said, "Can I ask you a personal question? Are you a Christian?" Well, she had a big smile on her face. She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, wonderful, praise God." I said, "By the way, what church do you go to?" Her head just dropped like that. I mean, she just dropped her head. She looked at me, and I could tell she began to get a little bit shaky when she told me this. She said, "Honestly, I hadn't been to church in over a year and a half." She said, "My mother was killed in a car wreck by a texting driver. Some lady was texting on the road. My mother's 45 or 46 years old, was killed about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, somewhere in that time frame." And she said, "Honestly, I have been angry. I have been mad. I've been angry at the world. I've been mad at God. I didn't want to talk." She said, "It's bothering me. It's big time bothering me." And she said, "It's affecting my work." She said, "I'm not married, but my mother told me right before she died," she was taken up to Atlanta Medical Center, and she said, "My mother told me, take care of your sister." And she said, "My sister has some kind of physical disability or mental disability." And she said, "And I've been taking care of my sister every day, trying to work two jobs." And she said, "I'm just mad. I'm just angry." Maybe there's somebody you today that you hear and you feel like she does. Angry, mad. Things aren't going the way you wanted them to go. Your health is not doing like you want it to do. Maybe your job is, things aren't kosher at your job. Or maybe you got a family member that is wayward with the Lord. And that's the more reason we need to return to our first love. When revival comes, the lost are saved. When revival comes, Spirit of God meets with His people. When revival comes, God begins to open doors. When revival comes, we win the war over worry. When revival comes, our fear turns into faith. When revival comes, there's times in refreshing in the presence of the Lord. When revival comes, the saints of God are happy and glad. I say, God, we need a revival. Send it, Lord, and let it begin in me. And the church said, amen and amen. We're going to see how serious you are about revival in just a little while. We've got a sheet right up here that we're asking you to sign up and pray for our revival meeting. There's never been a revival without prayer. There's never been a mighty move of God without the people of God humbling themselves before the Lord. And by the way, the camp meeting is just to start next week. Thank God, God has been working in our hearts last week and the week before. And I know the Lord has been trying to prepare my heart as we prepare as a church, that God would meet with us and God would have His way with us, and that the devil and the devil's crowd would be driven back. Hey, look today, do it again, Lord. Do it again. And we're going to look today, as I begin to reflect this week, mainly on Monday of this week, and God began to speak to my heart to a passage of Scripture concerning revival. And there are three, look, there are three remedies for revival. And we find them in the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Chronicles 15. Oh, this is a glorious account. And God wants to meet with us today and in the days to come. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. If you find it, please, as you would, if you're able to stand, we read the wonderful word of God together. 2 Chronicles 15. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Oh, God, do it again. We desperately need a heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival. In 2 Chronicles, as we begin reading in chapter 15, these three remedies for revival. If you'll notice with me, the three remedies for revival, we find them right here. First, why has God in times past, why has the Lord sent a Holy Ghost revival? Why has God sent a Holy Ghost revival? And then, how has God sent a Holy Ghost revival? And then, don't you think it's about time for God to do it again? I believe it's time for God to do it again. Oh, yes, it is. we come to chapter 15 of the book of 2 Chronicles, mainly written from a priestly point of view. 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, whereas Samuel is written from the prophetic point of view. The main focus of 1 Chronicles, the chapters are dealing with David, and David having mighty men to rally around him and preparation for the building of the temple. But we come to 2 Chronicles. Solomon is the central figure in 2 Chronicles, and he does follow through in building the temple and giving us that prescription for revival as he prays to the Israelites, "If my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land." And we come to 2 Chronicles. The kingdom had been divided. As a matter of fact, if you look on the screen, here's a map of the kingdom, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. Solomon dies. The year is 931 BC. And you'll notice the southern kingdom of Judah, the northern kingdom of Israel. Different kingdoms had different kings. In Judah, Rehoboam, and then following Abijah. And after Abijah comes this king we're going to talk about today, when God sent a revival, namely Asa. That's the background behind 2 Chronicles chapter 15. If you're ready to read, say amen. Amen. Chapter 15, verse 1. "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed." I'll tell you, the Spirit of God is real. And the Spirit of God is still working in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. I pray God send the mighty Holy Ghost power. And notice verse 2. "He went out to meet Asa." Say Asa with me. Asa. Say it again. Asa. This king, you're going to find out about him today. Though he had a father who was not very obedient to the will of God, yet God sent a revival in the midst of Asa and the people of God, the southern kingdom of Judah. Look at it. "And this man, Azariah, the prophet, to foretell and to foretell." That was the role of a prophet of God in the days of old. Verse 2 again. "Azariah, he went out to meet Asa. And he said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." That's crystal clear, is it not? Look at verse number 3. "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God." I should suggest to you we could put America in that statement. For a long time America has turned her back on God. I know America is not Israel, but certainly we have sown to the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind. We've sown to the flesh. We've dishonored God as a nation. We've taken down the Ten Commandments. Oh, listen, beloved, we need God to stir this nation once again, and I pray God will do it in my heart today and do it in your heart today, that God will have his way with us once again, certainly his people. That's where it begins. Notice again verse number 3. "Now for a long season Israel hath been without a true God and without a teaching priest and without the law." And notice Azariah the prophet was saying this to Asa and Judah and Benjamin. And verse 4, "And when they in their trouble, they turned unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them." I'm telling you, God will hear our prayers today. I'm telling you, God will hear our prayers today. I'm telling you, God will answer our prayers today. I'm telling you, God's a good God, and God will meet with us, and the Lord will show forth his mighty hand of power. Look at verse 4 again. When they turned to the Lord, God turned to them, and they sought him, they found him. Verse 5, "And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries." I'll tell you, that word leaped off the pages to me. Wouldn't you say today in America, we're living in a vexation world. And certainly in America, people are mad and people are angry and people are frustrated. Some of you are today, aren't you? You know who I'm talking to. Oh, yes, with the things going on in our nation. Verse 6, "And Nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them. Look at this. God did vex them, verse 6, with all adversity. You think ISIS might just be a scourge in the hand of God? You think, I got to thinking about that when I read that. You think the Lord hadn't just lifted up that restraining grace and allowed some things that have happened to our country? We need God in America again. We need God in our families again. You need God in your life. Some of you are troubled. Some of you are hearing voices. Some of you are maybe mixed up and confused and no peace. We need God. Revive us again, Lord. Verse 7. God said, be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. I say hallelujah. Your work shall be rewarded. I say hallelujah. God said, I'll reward your work. What an encouraging word. Verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecies of Obed the prophet, he took courage. Will you take courage today, beloved? He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord. And that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw, notice, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Verse 9 and verse 10. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month. Evident was in the feast of the feast of Pentecost in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice. Somebody said, preacher, you get too loud. Look what they do. They're saying a loud voice and with shouting. These folks believe in shouting. Look at it. You need to see it. With loud voice and shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their whole desire, and he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round and about. This is the word of God, and all God's people said, amen. In chapter 14, the Ethiopians come against them. 1 million army. Asa's facing this. 580,000 with the Judah. And 1 million. And God intervened. We're following on the coattail of that event in chapter 15. Let's pray. Father, I thank you now for your word. I thank you, Father, for your will. And oh God, I stand in the need of prayer today. I'm convinced, Father, every person here today, Father, needs a mighty move of heaven in our hearts. And Father, you know where we're at. And God, we're crying to heaven for mercy, for the mercy drops, for reviving, for restoring, for renewing. Doing, dear God, for refreshing in our hearts and our families and in this in our churches throughout the land, in the government, all the way, not only here but throughout our world. Oh, blessed God, move on us today. Father, we need you. I need you, and I thank you now that you are the true living God and your word is forever set in heaven. And we ask you, God, to cleanse us now. And Lord, change us. Thank you, Father, for these times, these special times. And for every person that's here, we're asking, believing, and trusting, and thanking you for saving the lost and reviving the saved. And we give you glory in Jesus' name for all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus. And all the God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to follow with me. There are three revival reasons and remedies for revival. Here it is, beloved. This is going to tell. Some of you may not be ready. Look. Some of you may not be ready to sign this today. I don't want you to come up here and sign this if you really don't mean it. I don't want you to come up here and sign this if you really, your heart's not in it. Only if God leads you. Only if God leads you. Only if you see there's a need. Only if you're going to say, God, I'm going to believe you. But wait a minute. There are these three remedies for revival. Number one, I begin to ask the question, Lord, why in times past history have you moved in Holy Ghost power and spiritual awakening and revival? Why, Lord, have you done that? You can trace history all the way from the biblical times under modern day history and find out, listen, beloved, in America, Has America experienced revival in a number of years? The answer is no. In the 1700s, the first great awakening, Jonathan Edwards and many preachers of the gospel, and God rent the heavens and poured out his power, and the gospel spread from those early pilgrims all across the southeast. And then the second great awakening under Jonathan, not only Jonathan Edwards in the first great awakening, Charles Finney and George Whitfield and even John Wesley preaching the gospel, and there was a mighty move of heaven. God swept across the South, and souls were saved, and the church was revived. I say, do it again, Lord. I say, do it again, Lord. I say, do it again, Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, God, do it again. God, do it again. God, do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Under this first heading, why does God send a mighty revival? One, the reasons for revival. Two, the results for revival. Under this first heading, why was God sending a revival in the days of Asa? One, reasons for revival. Notice, Azariah, the prophet of God, had a word to say. If ever there's a time the word needs to be said, it's now. I said it's now. And notice, Azariah said to Asa, he said, reasons for revival. Number one, spiritual waywardness. That's a reason for revival. Spiritual waywardness. We find that in verse 3. I'll look at it in a moment. Secondly, not only that, but physical tiredness. That's a reason for revival. How many feel tired these days? Come on, be honest with me. Tired, worn out, drained, vexed. I'm convinced a lot of us today are absolutely worn out, spiritually speaking, physically speaking. Thirdly, there's a third reason for revival. We're going to see it very clear in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. It's not only spiritual waywardness and not only physical tiredness and discouragement, but number three, spiritual, watch this, readiness. Spiritual readiness. We'll find that in verse 2. And now I want you to look at with me, please, what I'm trying to say and what God wants to communicate to us today. Number one, the first reason for revival is spiritual waywardness. Look at verse 3 again of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Verse 3, now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. Without law, for a long season. I don't know about y'all, but I got a feeling there's a crowd here today. I got a feeling there's some saints here today. You know that we in America, it's been a long season where we've seen the times of refreshing in the presence of God. In fact, it was 1851, what we call the Fulton Street Prayer Meeting. Watch this. When just a group of men got together to pray, to seek God. How many believe that's a good idea today? To get together with your neighbor, to get together with your friend, to get together with somebody today and make your way to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, thank you for those times of refreshing in your presence. And speaking of praying, I'm sorry. I got to take a timeout break. Congratulations, Vicki and Kevin, for Piper and Olive, grandchildren. Let's praise the Lord. Sorry. It's been a long time. It has been a long time. Oh, Israel, there you've gone through a season without the true God. How many believe it's been a long time since God's been honored and lifted up in America? We have gone. I'm telling you, we've gone from God. Our nation has sown again. We've erred from the biblical principles. One nation under God. We're not one nation under God anymore. We're one nation going under. God, send a revival. God, shake this land. God, manifest your glory. Lord, restrain the work of the devil. We have compromised with sin as a nation. And bless God, it's not just the president, although he is certainly a catalyst in us straying from the living God. I got news for you. I'm not going to wait for the next election. I'm going to pray God will send revival today. Don't wait for the next election. If you think the president, the next president, is going to usher in revival, I just got my questions about it. We're going to get some relief, yeah, but we need God in America again. We need the hand of God. We need the blessings of God. We need the glory of God. One nation under God. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. I want you to know God's not happy with stuff going on in America. I'm to believe that God's not happy with stuff going on in America. God's calling us to repent. God's calling us to turn. God's saying, we the people of God, that's where it starts. You've been a long time without God. I dare say this community, Jasper County, all around us, there are people dying, going to hell every moment. In fact, they'll ride right by here, New Rocket Creek Baptist Church, and be oblivious to the church. Things going on today, people are slipping out in eternity. But when revival comes, God begins to burden our heart for lost men and women and boys and girls. Oh God, turn us and we'll be turned. Lord, give us your heartbeat. Lord, give us a passion for souls. Lord, help us to see the fields are white in the harvest. Bring us out of our comfort. Bring us out of our complacency. Dear God, burn out the draw. Send the Holy Ghost revival, and Lord, let it begin in me today. Yes, Lord, it's me. It's me standing in your prayer, spiritual waywardness. But when revival comes, oh God begins to meet with his people. When revival comes, the shackles of sin are broken. When revival comes, there is the renewing of our hearts. As deer pants after water at a brook, so may our soul pant after thee, oh God. When revival comes, God begins to stiff arm the devil. When revival comes, God begins in the heavenly places to make war against the principalities and powers. We need a heaven-sent revival today. God, send a mighty move of heaven because of our spiritual waywardness. And I got a feeling there's some of us, we felt that waywardness, hadn't we? Lately, maybe we hadn't felt as close to the Lord as we once were. I'm talking to men and women today. I know I'm facing it. I know how much more you're facing it. The culture has warped our minds. The culture has stolen our emotions. And things going on us in our world. They have robbed us of intimacy with God. They've robbed us of precious time with the Lord. We need revival. God, send a Holy Ghost revival, Lord. Revival is for the church. Revival is for the saints of God. Revival is for the Christians to get back on the firing line. And I believe there's some of you, you know some lost people, and you're standing in the gap between them and eternity. God, help us not to fail you. Oh, God, help us not to fail you now, Lord. This is so crucial. This is so absolutely necessary. You get a hold of God today. It's absolutely necessary that we get a hold of God today. It's absolutely imperative that our nation turns back to God. Oh, I know the Bible's real. But oh, for your family, how many got children and grandchildren you're concerned about? Yes, Lord. Spiritual waywardness. Secondly, not only spiritual waywardness, but physical. Notice tiredness. I'm looking at a crowd today. Man, we've been bombarded with stuff. Junk mail, commercials, all the hoopla of the world. Look at verse 7. Notice verse 7. Look what God says. Be strong, therefore. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Oh, be strong. Let not your hands be weak. Watch this, child of God. Some of you, your hands have gotten weak, haven't they? And about coming down, aren't they? You're tired. You've been in this battle a long time, haven't you? It's a battle fighting the world, the flesh and the devil. Mamas know what I'm talking about. Daddies know what I'm talking about. Financial pressure, problems, the troubles, the challenges. And it's easy to get our hands, and our hands get heavy. No wonder Paul said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without doubt, without wrath, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 7 and 8. So many would say, Pastor, my hands have gotten heavy. My hands have gotten heavy. Birthdays bring heaviness, don't they, Betty? I mean, our hands get heavy. Our hands get heavy. Oh, God, renew me. Oh, God, refresh me. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I can keep carrying on. I don't know if I can continue to have a good testimony. Lord, I don't know if I can finish faithful. Lord, I want to finish faithful. Lord, I don't want to bomb out now. Lord, I don't want to mess up now. Lord, I don't want to sin and ruin my testimony now. I'm going to say, God, you got to keep me. If you don't keep me, I won't be kept. I'm going to say that. And if God doesn't keep us, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. We can't keep ourselves. We need God. That's what revival is. Spiritual tiredness, spiritual weakness. Listen, New Rocky Creek, we're fixing to go through some real activities. Let me say this, I appreciate so much every one of you. Hallelujah. Next week, preparing already, meals, preparing for people to come in. We've never done this before as a church. Having as many people are going to be coming and going. 10 or more preachers are going to be coming and going. Stay in different places. Meals, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at noontime, and then evening meal at 5 o'clock. There's going to be a lot of activity going on. Services Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, I know some of you, you may be out of town or you can't come, but some of you can, and many of you can. Watch! Physical tiredness is going to be an enemy. Physical tiredness will say, well, you got to get up early in the morning, or you're just too tired and you don't have to go tonight. Watch what I'm telling you. Next week, you're going to have to go above and beyond. Next week, listen to me, beloved. It's not going to be easy, all right? We're going to have to get God to renew us and refresh us, because the devil's going to be busy about trying to wear us out. He's defeated. Thank God when revival comes, God refreshes us. I'm telling you, there's been times when I've sat in church working 12 hours a day, getting up and leaving the house at 6 o'clock in the morning. And this is 30 years ago. And man, I just didn't think I'd carry on. 70 hours a week working and driving to church. And man, there were times I was so tired I could hardly hold my head up. But when I got there, praise God, something about it, the Lord refreshed me. I said the next day when I went and worked, everybody else was dragging, and I had a new step. Amen. I had a renewed heart. There's something about it. When you get in the presence of God, there's just something about it. God makes it well worth our time. Listen to me. We're going to get, it's going to be easy to get weary in well-doing. Once we, as we've already started, next Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. By the way, make revival a priority in your life. Don't say, well, I might go if this comes up or if I don't go this. Go ahead and set your time. I'm telling you, because the blessings of God. Now, you can choose. It's your choice. But I know, listen, as a pastor, I've hesitated for us to have in my own heart. I'm just confessing this to you. I just was praying, Lord, I don't know, for 25 years. I've been praying for God to let us have an old-fashioned camp meeting, 25 years. Why? Because the Lord saved me out of an old-fashioned camp meeting, Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi, 1982. And I know the value, and I know many of you know the value of when there's a concentrated effort of prayer and when God meets with His people. I know that God is well able. And then 1983, God called me in the ministry. But watch, it's going to be a test. It's going to be a test. It's going to be a test next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Just go ahead and set your priorities right. There used to be a time when people of God, the saints of God, when the church had revival, they put everything else on the back burner. Listen, beloved, I'm not trying to be overbearing. I'm not trying to be legalistic at all. How many times do we have meetings on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? Me personally, I deliberately try to keep from having any kind of meetings during the week, with exception of during the afternoon. And people that are on staff can tell you that for that reason, for you to spend time with your family. But look, we have revival maybe one time a year. We're talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. We're not asking you to go over and above. I know it's going to be a challenge. Just go ahead and plan to be here, because God wants you here. Your pastor's going to look for you, and I know there'll be blessings. Oh, yes, come with an attitude of gratitude. Come with an attitude of expectancy, physical tiredness. And that's why we need today for God to get us prepared. Are you listening? I said that's why we need today for God to get us prepared. You don't know what's going to happen. Next week's going to be busy. We'll still have to do everything we've got to do in ministry all week long. Calls, on call, 24/7, all of that. But we're going to pray, God, you meet with us. You, Lord, you be with us, Lord. You work it out. And I'm going to believe God's going to do it for His glory. We need a revival. Do it again, Lord. Do it again.
Number one, spiritual waveriness. Number two, physical tiredness. Number three, spiritual readiness. Look back at verse 2 of the text. Spiritual readiness. I see a hunger in some people. I know 7,000 hadn't bowed the knee to Baal in America, and I'm convinced that's why God has not unleashed a more an imps of hell on this nation. But oh, brother, we have to admit, we are certainly under God's judgment now. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sins approach the people. Look at verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him." Notice, here's conditional. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him. Look, you don't have to seek him today. You can sit on your blessed assurance and be the same way you came in and leave. Or you can just continue in your lifestyle being either carnal Christian or spirit-filled Christian. The choice is yours. And so God's saying, this prophet of God, Azariah, is saying, look, if you'll be with God, look at it. He said, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. If you seek him, let's say that together. If you seek him, one more time. If you seek him, in other words, you don't have to seek him. He says, you can keep on going like you're going. You can keep on being stressed. You can keep on taking all kind of medicine. You can keep on being worried. You can keep on being angry. You can. God will let you do that. But God's saying, I'm giving you an opportunity now. Look what he said. If you will seek him, he will be found. Look at the last part of verse 2. He will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. A spiritual readiness. Let me tell you something that happened to me last week. One of our men, he can testify, he's back here in the back, Brother Charles Mason. How many love Brother Charles? Let me see your hand. What a blessing he is to me personally and to the church. Anyway, we had our Young Heart meeting over at Thomas's in Covington. And he was getting there a little late. He came a little late. I did too, actually. But anyway, got there before he did. But anyway, and we were sitting down, and Brother Charles said to me, he said, you know, Brother Randy, I took some of those flyers down there, down to the courthouse. You know those flyers that are hanging up all over the church? I love it. Praise God. I love it. Anyway, he said, I took one of those flyers down there to the courthouse. I believe he said the courthouse. And he said, I gave it to one lady, and I invited her to come. How many have invited somebody? Let me see your hand. All right. How many are going to invite somebody? Let me see your hand. Good. Hey, when revival comes. But you know what he said? He said, I told this lady and gave her a brochure. He said she looked at it. Let's see, New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. She said, that's where that pastor, that preacher preaches about 2 hours, isn't it? And you know what he said? He said, actually, he'll preach 4 if you let him. God being my witness. And you know what? I got to thinking about that. Praise God. If my reputation in this community, if nothing else, if people say, well, he sure does love the Bible and he has a passion for preaching, praise God, mission accomplished, all right? If the Lord takes me home, glory, glory, glory. And by the way, one time when I get in heaven, I'm not going to have to worry about time. I'm going to preach to everybody to listen up there. Can I get an amen? Somebody's going to be up there to share the word of God. You hear about the man that came to church one day? He got up and he walked out right through the middle of the message. The preacher stopped and says, hey, where are you going? Man said, I'm going to get a haircut. He said, a what? A haircut? He said, why didn't you get one before you came in? He said, I didn't need one before I came in. God help us. But look, God help us. Some of us need a haircut. I do. Hey, look, number one, why does God send a Holy Ghost revival? And number two, how does God send a Holy Ghost revival? We're coming down. This plane's fixing to land here in just a little while. But hang with me. How does God send? Hey, look, is there a pattern in the Bible when God has moved, when God has worked, when God has revived his people? Yes. And I say there's a key right here. Number one, notice, how does God move in spiritual awakening and Holy Ghost revival? Well, let's take the text. All we got to do is see right here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, there are two observations I get from the text. Number one is Asa stood up. Are you willing to stand up today? Are you willing to stand up today and be counted? Asa stood up. Look at it in chapter 15 and verse number 7. Look at it. Be strong, therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Look at verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, what'd he do? He took courage. Woo! When revival comes, he took courage. Man, I don't know about y'all, But I believe there's some of us today that need courage. God, give us courage. Holy Ghost courage. He took courage. And look what he did. Verse 8, continue reading. He took courage and he put away what? The abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. He stood up. I've said it before and I want to say it again. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Stand for truth. Say, bless God, my folks at the school might not need revival, but I need revival. My family might not need revival, but I need God to renew my heart. I need God to refresh my soul. I need God to quicken his word in my heart. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, listen. You know what Asa did? He got rid of them idols. How many believe we got some idols in our nation? God, help us to get rid of them. But wait a minute. Let me go a step further. Where our computer is, it's in the kitchen. It's right there by the trash can. I sit down to check my email, look at the news, and you know what? Every once in a while, something stinks. Don't look at your neighbor. That woke somebody up, didn't it? I'm not talking about you. Something stinks. You know what it is? It's the trash. It's right beside me. It stinks sometimes. Hello. And you know what I do? I go over there and say, I smell something stinks. And I look down that trash. No wonder it stinks. It's full. It needs to be taken out. Take the top off, get that bag, and take it out. Take the trash out. Is there anybody here got some trash in your life? Is there anybody here? Some things are stinking, all right? Don't you need to take out the trash today? I believe some of us, there's some trash there. There's some stuff that's accumulated in your life. That's what revival's all about. Take the trash out. Asa took the trash out. Get rid of the idols. But wait a minute, he did something else. You see, he stood up, but watch this. God began to use his influence. I'll tell you what, when you get revived, other folks will see it. And you know what they'll do? They'll say, man, he's got something I don't have. God, watch this. The Lord will give you influence with your family when you get revived. You believe me? Do you believe me? If you believe me, say amen. Look over here, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter number 15. Look at verse 9. I love this. You know what? A crowd noticed that Asa, there was something different about it. Look at this. This is what revival's all about, beloved. Verse 9, he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him, out of Israel in abundance. Why? Look at the last part of verse 9. When they saw what? The Lord as God was what? God was with him. Telling you, how many want God with you? I want God with me. And God has a way of building that influence, that crowd. Somebody said the northerners came south, all right? That crowd up there said, man, that Asa, the blessings of God are on him. I'm telling you, when the blessings of God get on you, somebody's going to say, man, I'm tired of having the curses of God on me. I want the blessings of God on me. When the blessings of God get on you, somebody's going to take note of it. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have any trouble. In fact, you'll probably have more trouble. But what this world needs to see is not somebody that don't have any trouble, but what this world needs to see is somebody's got trouble but got Jesus all over them, and they're still walking in the Spirit, and they're still obedient to God, and the glory of God's on them. I say, Lord, send the revival. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. I've got to close. Don't you think it's time now? Don't you think it's time now? I told you about this lady, and I'm going to close on this. I met her this week again. I went in this restaurant, and she said to me, she came up to me. I talked with her the week before. By the way, I didn't tell you. I said, sit down the week before. Let's pray. We prayed right there in the restaurant. How many believe God's at restaurants? Amen. We prayed right there. She's a waitress. I know the manager. He's a Christian, and she was I wasn't going to get her in trouble or anything. I said, sit down right here. Let's pray. You believe God can help you with this anger? 2 years. Not in church. 2 years. Out of the will of God. And she said, I hadn't grieved. She had some silverware in her hand. I said, Will you take that silverware, go throw it in that bin back there after we pray, and may that be a symbol that you're throwing this thing away. You're not going to hold this stuff anymore. Anyway, we prayed a couple of minutes. How many believe that? Anyway, we prayed. I'll leave it at that. We prayed. Look, she came in last week. God be my witness. I walked in last week. I didn't know what was. God burned my heart to pray for her all week long. And then I went there, and just what she said. She said, Pastor, I want to talk with you before you leave. I said, all right, good. And talked with a few minutes with our men. Then I slipped over where she was at. She said, I just want to tell you what's going on. I said, yeah, tell me what's going on. She said, well, she said, for the first time, she said, for the first time. Oh, God. She said, for the first time I went, she said, me and my sister, you know that sister I told you about that was mentally disabled? I said, yeah. She said, the first time in 2 years, I wept. I cried with my sister. We cried over my mama's dying. And she said, for the first time, I'm getting a breakthrough in my life. She said, Pastor, I told my sister. She said, I can't explain it. She was getting real emotional. She was getting real emotional. And she said, I can't explain it. She said, but when we prayed last week, I told my sister, when we prayed, and this is what she told me, God being my witness. She said, my shoulders were like this. She said, when we prayed, my shoulders just went like this. She said, I don't know what happened, but God touched my heart. God touched my heart. She said, Pastor, she said, you wouldn't believe the things that have been happening. I said, well, tell me what's been happening. She said, all kind of problems are happening. I said, well, that's par for the course. The devil's not happy. But then she told me this. She said, things have changed and are changing in my life. I just want you to know, for the first time, I sense God in my life again. And then she said, a man came in and told her to sign the check for whatever amount of tip that she wanted. I said, do what? She said, a man came in the store. I had all these problems and this tearing up. And a man came in after I got things right. And she said, he gave me a check and said, you fill it in whatever you want. I said, what? She said, fill it in whatever you want. And I said, well, why didn't you put $1 million and give me half of it, all right? I didn't really say that, but she said, I filled it in. She said, I just want to tell you, God is good. I'm talking about revival today. I'm talking about when revival comes, praise God. God begins to refresh his people. God begins to renew his people. Is there anybody here today that say, Pastor, I want the blessings of God. You can count on me, Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you. I want, dear God, heaven's best. And the church said, amen and amen and amen. Let's stand together, can we? And I know our time is